Okay, here we are back. Hour number two, welcome. We have a lot to talk about. Headlines going up momentarily. It's another good batch there every day. And if you don't have time to really spend looking and reading, just read the headlines. You'll come away with a good thumbnail sketch of the current state of fading planet Earth. Jeez, I hate to be negative, but it's the damn truth. Top story, being exposed to just 1/32nd of a millionth of a gram. 1/32nd of a millionth of a gram of dioxin is your maximum lifetime allowable exposure. Think about that. Now, we've had some dioxin accidents in the past, and Erica knows about one of them in Italy, and I know about one in Missouri. But we're going to talk just a little bit about what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, because it's really hideous. It's an obvious, direct decision. It was a command directive, a terrorist attack on America. And the two governors, DeWine and the other guy, who allegedly signed off on the burning, the control burning of vinyl chloride, should be in prison right now for the rest of their lives. It's not even incompetence. They're obviously involved. They were told what to do. You do not burn vinyl chloride because it turns into dioxin. Yes, there are a number of different kinds of dioxin. It doesn't matter. We've tracked this plume. We know where it went. They're now finding it on the streets of Ontario neighborhoods. And when the snow melts, it's this rainbow-colored chemical crap on the asphalt. So it's everywhere up there. It's bad news. Welcome back, partner. How are you?
Well, thanks, Jeff. Good to be back.
All right. Tell us about what happened in Italy. This is one of the first ones, modern catastrophes involving dioxin.
Well, yeah, this was back in 1976, and it was a man-made disaster. There was a factory in Seviso, Italy, near Lombardy, and it was a factory making chemicals, one of which was dioxin, and the worst kind, which is known as TCDD, tetrachlorodibenzodioxin. That's the worst. That's the one that's associated with Agent Orange. And the thing blew up. And it contaminated about 6 square miles with this toxic fallout. And because it was so bad and the toxicity from this was so bad, it became an area of study to try to figure out, you know, the way this chemical exerts its toxic effects in people. I mean, it can be lethal if you get enough of it. Many, many animals died right off the bat. I think they said about 30,000, mostly chicken, mostly rabbits. But then they ended up having to cull many more so that the meat, which would have been contaminated from these animals, wouldn't end up in the food chain. And that's one thing about dioxins is they accumulate. They bioaccumulate. So one animal eats another, and it just concentrates in the tissues, and then by the time it gets to a human dinner plate, it's pretty concentrated. So these things are nasty. They're not directly carcinogenic, but what they do is they upregulate the certain parts of the detox pathway that transforms other chemicals into carcinogens. And basically oxidative stress is what causes people all their problems, not the least of which is rapid aging. And so if you want to get an idea of what's in store for East Palestine, Ohio, you could maybe look at Seviso, Italy from 1976, and that was rated as the 8th worst man-made environmental disaster in history. But people did survive. They think long-term there might have been an uptick in cancer, although they can't confirm it. Many of the women that were pregnant at the time opted to have their pregnancies terminated. But all in all, the fallout, I guess, was not as bad as one would have expected.
Right. We had our own Seviso, Italy?
Mm-hmm.
at Times, in the little community town of Times Beach, Missouri. There are images up. You can see them. Fascinating. Just look up Times Beach, Missouri. Same thing. That little town was the site of one of the worst environmental disasters in American history. Nearly 40 years ago, this guy, a man with a truck, a spray truck, was paid to spray material, allegedly used crankcase oil, on the roads to knock the dust down. A little Midwestern town. What the town didn't know, and what he didn't tell them, was that he was spraying those roads with a mixture of dioxin and waste oil. When the town was inundated by a terrible flood in 1982, that toxic mixture spread beyond the roads and covered the entire town. Today, the town is a ghost town. Everyone left there in the early 80s, gone. They couldn't stay. It is a toxic catastrophe. Gone. That's Times Beach, Missouri.
What year was that?
This is about 40 years ago. The Reagan administration is when it began, but then this big flood is when everything got spread all over the place. Let me get the timeline. 1974, CDC investigations tie dioxin to all the illnesses in the town. 1974. 1971, children and animals mysteriously fall ill at the sites that were sprayed by this guy. And in the early 70s, he began his spraying.
Yeah, these are nasty chemicals. I mean, because they're so persistent, the body has no way of breaking that chlorine-carbon bond. And that's so they persist.
They're like forever
then there was
chemicals.
The example of that Ukrainian president back in the early 2000s, Viktor...
You're right. It's Yushchenko. You're correct. Viktor Yushchenko. It's not Yanukovych. It's Yushchenko.
I thought so. Okay. So he was apparently deliberately poisoned with some kind
dioxin. Yeah.
And you can see his face.
Oh, it's horrible.
They call that chloracne. And it's a direct consequence of being poisoned with these you know, halogenated aromatic compounds. I mean, they're they're nasty. And so, yeah, that's one of the manifestations, and that's how they knew it was probably that agent that someone tried to kill him with. But you can look at him before and after the poisoning. And boy, did his appearance change. Wow.
Oh, it was frightful.
It was frightful,
like,
yeah. I mean, he aged.
A different man. His face was caved. Horrible. He didn't even look human. Looked like a Hollywood zombie extra. Yeah.
So, but he survived.
Yeah, he's still alive. It's quite a disfigurement, though, he went through.
Yes,
terrible.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that can happen with that type of poisoning is maybe a peripheral neuropathy and liver issues because, you know, the liver is the main organ for detoxification, and it is overburdened with this, trying to deal with this.
Right.
But, it's nasty stuff. And yeah, so any sort of livestock that might be in that area, forget about... You know, bringing it to market. Well, I don't know. Maybe they will bring it to market and poison us that way.
Who do you trust anyway anymore? Honestly, it's
the thing. Even hay or you know grass that might be feed for other animals. If that's contaminated and given to these animals for feed, it's going to end up in their tissues.
Sounds like prions, doesn't it?
Kind of, sort of.
Right up into the plants,
well,
and the animals eat the plants, and they can get the prions that way. Times Beach, Missouri, nobody knows about it. It's forgotten. But it was a big story, big deal. It's finally a Superfund site, but what are they going to do? It's way worse than Love Canal. Anyway,
yeah.
Dioxin, not to be messed with. Now there's a plume trail all the way up to the northeast and northwest from East Palestine. That's how they pronounce it there, Palestine. So All intentionally done. No, it's inarguable. Those tank cars did not break open. They're designed not to. They just fall off the track and roll on their side. They don't break open. They could have been pumped out. No, the whole thing was staged and set. And if you look at that movie, everyone tells me, it's called White Noise, 2 years earlier, and they filmed it right there in East Palestine, and half the town were used as extras in the movie, and it was the same kind of a thing, a terrible, catastrophic derailment, chemical issues and all that. So, yeah, it's all, nothing is left to chance here. It's all planned. It's sheep to the slaughter. That's all they're doing.
Well, after that incident in Italy, you know, that was really taken seriously, and people were tried and went to jail for that. You think that'll happen here?
Sure. Governor DeWine signs off on it. The other governor, I don't know which state he was governor of, but the two governors signed off on this thing. No, they were told to sign off on it. That's my guess. I wouldn't see it any other way. That's what they do. All right. Well, anyway, you people in that area, any of you listening, you have our care and concern, and be careful. Whatever it takes, protect yourself, your family, your loved ones, and don't trust the authorities anymore. Look for independent agents and researchers, and do your own research. Look into Times Beach, Missouri. That's one you can do. Okay. Now, as we have been saying, going on in our third year here, shedding is a catastrophic issue and clearly was figured in and factored in to the entire PSYOP and genocide that's going on right now. That's how they plan to pick up the remaining 20, maybe 30% who didn't take the shot, the bioweapon injection owned by the Pentagon and the Department of Defense. It has nothing to do with vaccinating anybody against anything. It is a weapon of death. It's a bioweapon. End of story. And any of these doctors who are purporting to be on our side, who continue to pound the lectern and say, vaccine, they're lying to you. And if they're not doing it intentionally, they're incompetent. They should not do that. It is not a vaccine. All right, so we have a new test out, another result, and we're going to play a little video here in a couple minutes, that proves mRNA stays in the blood on the loose for 28 days minimum. Now, that's all they tested for. They didn't test for 48 days or 68 days. It could be years. We don't know. Is the blood of the vaxxed, so-called, the blood of those who have taken the bioweapon, still show one of the two primary agents of destruction in those injections, the mRNA, and you know, just from listening to us, that the spike is already there. We know that. But the mRNA has again proven, there have been papers on this already, discussing the fact that both spike and mRNA are being shed exosomically and through any normal channel. Exhalation is the worst. Think about it. You breathe out, boom. And there's a new test on that, which took masks worn by those who had accepted the bioweapon injections and checked the masks. And what did they find in the webbing, the mesh of the masks on the inside? Well, they found spike and they found mRNA. They found a lot of other things, too. Antibodies that are generated to those two items, if antibodies are, in fact, created for both of them. Certainly the mRNA, there would be some reaction to it. Anyway, the masks hold the proof. Now, what does that say about masks? Masks do, in fact, trap some of the exhaled pathogenicity of shedding. So they work, at least on the inside. Do they work on your side if you're not injected? You betcha they do. Are they 100%? Not a chance. Are they 20%? Maybe. Will you take it? We say, take it. And don't buy any masks made in China, for God's sakes. We don't know what's in those things. We've seen too many videos of little black things that start to move when they receive heat and moisture. And what's that? I couldn't tell you, but I don't want to be breathing it.
Yeah. Not to mention that the particles, I mean, some of them were, I think, they might have had silver nanoparticles in there to, you know, try to neutralize any sort of pathogen. And graphene oxide, same thing.
What was that? What?
Graphene. Well, the graphene would have been to trap any sort of, viral particles.
We pledge never to say that word combination again. Graphene, no, I'm teasing.
It has its uses. It has its uses. But it's not the way people are saying.
No. Okay. So let's listen just a little bit here to John Campbell, Dr. John Campbell. Yes, we know he's not a medical doctor. He's got a PhD, and I believe it's in nursing, interestingly enough. But that doesn't mean the man is not on top of his game, and he is. So let me get past this stupid commercial here. Okay. All right, anything you want to say about John Campbell before we roll on here?
Nope, go ahead.
You're so easy to get along with. All right.
Welcome to
I pick and
Monday,
choose my battles.
Well, don't choose me. All right.
Okay.
February now. We had been led to believe that messenger RNA vaccines only stayed in the blood for a very short period of time.
We had been led to believe that mRNA stayed in the blood unassociated with cells for a very short period of time.
But we're going to be looking at work from Denmark today, not from New Zealand, not from Canada, not from the UK, not from the United States, where you might expect this sort of work to be done because this is where the large producers are, especially in the United States. But this works from Denmark, and it shows that 9.3% of people that were injected with these vaccines still had the messenger RNA, the ribonucleic acid, in their blood after 28 days.
This is— Remember, that's what the test was. They didn't test for 1 year or 2 years, so we don't know where the end of the line is on that one.
Way longer than anyone had expected, and actually took the researchers by surprise. Now, it's actually from this paper here, from a Danish journal. The authors are based in Copenhagen. Peer-reviewed, of course. The full paper is there, and it's available for free download. I've downloaded the full PDF there, so check it out for yourself. As always, make sure I'm not making it up. Look at the original sources. I always put them in the description. So SARS coronavirus 2 spike mRNA vaccines sequences. So this is the mRNA sequence required to produce or synthesize the spike protein within the body's own cells 28 days after vaccination. Now, largely based at Copenhagen. Now, it's very important these days, unfortunately, to look at the conflicts of interest, and these authors reported no conflicts of interest. So this is the way it should be in all scientific work or scientific papers. We would expect the authors to have no conflicts of interest. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Denmark used the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, mRNA vaccines, and as we know, both code for production of full-length SARS coronavirus 2 spike protein. So we're not giving the spike protein itself, we're giving the messenger RNA that goes into the body's own cells. The body's own cells produce the spike protein. And the mRNA is encapsulated in a lipid nanoparticle. We know they're in lipid nanoparticles, and we've been told quite categorically that these lipid nanoparticles are non-replicating. That's been told to us many, many times, that these do not replicate. And yet these ones were in the blood 28 days after vaccination. The paper doesn't say they replicate, not at all. Let's hope they don't. The modified nucleotide sequences allow perfect identification of the vaccine sequence. Now, in other words, the RNA that we give in the vaccine is quite a lot different from the RNA in the virus that codes for the spike protein. Therefore, the researchers were able to diagnose definitively that this was a vaccine-induced spike protein and it didn't come from natural infection. So that is absolutely clear from the study.
Question. He said clearly that the mRNA is encapsulated in LNPs, liquid nanoparticles. And he also said that LNPs were found at the end of the 28-day test period in the blood as well as the mRNA. He didn't define whether the LNPs were still wrapped around the mRNA that was found or if they were two separate prizes in the treasure hunt. What's your guess?
No, they once it's injected into the body, that's assuming that it's still intact.
Correct.
Because they're now realizing that these multiple freeze-thaw cycles that were, you know, that happened during the transport process, maybe storage, much of the material did get degraded. And so the mRNA is encapsulated in these lipid nanoparticles that have to be kept very, very cold. Because as soon as they start to warm up, they melt, and the whole thing just falls apart. So many people probably got an injection of degraded lipid nanoparticles with loose, truncated pieces of mRNA. So I would have to assume, I know that there's no way that lipid nanoparticle with the mRNA inside of it would be intact in the body after 28 days.
At 98.6.
The temperature's too warm.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right. So what could be happening, I'm not sure if he misspoke or maybe I misheard, but the mRNA is still present. Now, is the body copying it? It appears so, because that's what they determined in the mRNA that was found in breast milk.
Okay, let me ask you to pause. What Erica just said is immensely important. The mRNA in and of itself may not be self-replicating, but the human body, your body, the body of the injected, may be making that mRNA in and of itself. That's a big departure from anything we've heard. That's a major statement. Go ahead.
Well, and the other thing, you've got the mRNA, and if it's what they said it is, and not self-replicating or self-amplifying, then the fact that it has all those pseudo-uridine substitutions in it to make it stick around longer, the body is clearly having trouble breaking that down. So it's persisting and being read over and over and over again, and every time it gets read, a protein is produced from it, spike protein in this case, and whatever else they've coded for. Mm-hmm. But it also appears from this study with women who were breastfeeding and this stuff turning up in their milk, it wasn't encased in a synthetic lipid nanoparticle. No, it was in an exosome generated by the body. Now, an exosome is a little fatty type of vesicle that it uses to package information in, and the information can be anything from maybe a protein, maybe a piece of genetic material like mRNA or smaller pieces of RNA. And it sends it out to other distant organs and tissues as a means of communication. But these same exosomes can leave the body through exhalations or bodily fluids. And they know this happens. That was well documented in the patent, the Moderna patent, and it was mentioned in the Pfizer trials. So they know this stuff shed. And what's being shed, they mentioned it could be the genetic material itself or the protein of interest?
You know, the liquid nanoparticle in and of itself, the LNP, is enough to cause grievous damage to the body. It's a terrible, terrible thing. People don't spend any time talking about that much. We mention it here a lot. But you got the spike protein, you have the mRNA itself, and you have the LNPs, and God knows how many other things. And there are too many pathways to accurately convey in a talk program format like this by which this injection can kill. I'll keep it real simple. By which this injection can kill. We figured several dozen, probably, all told. This thing, whoever designed it, and I personally think there may have been off-planet input. I'm not saying we couldn't do it. I'm just saying that this is one of the most evil things ever. And as Dr. Chetty said, it's certainly the most deadly thing ever. So we are really in trouble here. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think there's a virus that comes close to this. I mean, this is so unnatural to give somebody an injection that has the possibility of transfecting
patients with
whatever organ or tissue it comes into contact with, and then no way of shutting that off.
Right, exactly. No, it's nuts. So, okay, I don't know if we're going to play much more of this. He gets into some subsets of information that aren't directly pertinent to what we were talking about in the beginning, but we'll post it, and it'll be up there for you to take a look at. So, do. Vax blood is contaminated with free-floating mRNA. Now, this came out in a paper by a guy with the first name of Igor, and it's been around for a while. We're going to post that as well, because it leans in the direction that we have speculated about for a long time, that this is contaminated blood. Anyone who's been injected is unfit to donate blood, period, or organs, period. Anyone who's gotten a transfusion or multiples thereof of injected blood, bioweapon-injected blood, is probably going to die. And I know someone personally who's no longer with us who did exactly that, and against my, I implored the person not to do it, didn't listen, dead 6 weeks later. The blood supply is hopelessly compromised. And I don't want them to shut us off the air again, but that's the damn truth. So that's why there's a demand now for so-called pure blood for transfusions, if you can find it. And by the way, on Friday, if those of you are not up to speed, we were shut down on Friday, as has happened before. They didn't like the way the program was going, what was being said, so they knocked it out. Anyway, we're back tonight and doing our best as always. Vaccinated blood is contaminated with COVID vaccine mRNA. Remember that. And do remember that the mRNA is it's the instructions that cause your body's cells to cease producing all normal proteins and only produce the deadly spike protein. That's it.
That's it. Well said.
All right. Now, we have this other story, also written by Igor. Is this new, or is this a recycled one, the one about the masks? Do you remember seeing this before?
Oh, that was from May, I believe, of last year. But
I thought so. Yeah.
And it seems to me that, and I don't know why, I think people got maybe a little relaxed or complacent about the shedding thing, and they thought it was not that bad, and I think it's becoming apparent that it is bad. It needs to be taken seriously.
It's deadly.
It can be
deadly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, people are coming down with blood clots after having been in the vicinity of vax people. I mean, usually it's people that are in a work environment that are forced to be around many people for long periods of time. So there's some sort of cumulative threshold where you're suffering the same effects almost as people who have received the injection. And that you don't need the virus to cause the disease now, even though the virus is still out there and that has problems of its own. But all you really need is the spike to cause disease.
And you may get the mRNA with the spike, which is the
possibly
last thing you want. If you just got the spike and you were down below what we think is everyone has their individual threshold where they can handle it, their immune system can defeat the spike. But if you overload it, your system, and surpass your threshold, you may be in real serious trouble. You cannot. If you're constantly exposed to the spike and it drives your level up above your threshold, you may be in serious trouble. And that's if you're working around people or you're living with someone who's your vax opposite and you're getting dosed constantly. This is not good. We don't have any proof of this, but it's the only logical approach we can come up with. And then there are those who become hypersensitized to being around the vaxxed, i.e., if they even get a relative few spike proteins, they're going to get sick.
Yeah, there are those out there too. And life has become hell for them. They're at a point where they literally cannot leave the house.
Not to go around and be with others who have been vaxxed or in their vicinity. No, they can't. All right, here's this other paper on vaccine shedding, and I hate to use the word vaccine. It is not a vaccine, but I don't want to keep stopping and correcting every damn time I see it. That's part of the game out there. They want us to say vaccine, because it has a relatively benign connotation, at least out of the box it does. Do vaccinated people shed their vaccine byproducts to us? Well, you all know the answer to that, but this is the article I'm reading from. We definitely, for sure, says the author, knew that vaccine shedding was not a thing because, quote, health experts and fact-checkers, end quote, told us so. And we believe science and our health experts, right? Except that it's all wrong. And vaccine shedding has just been proven by science. Now, this is last May. Even I, says the author, believe there was no plausible mechanism for vaccine shedding. I thought that it was a baseless conspiracy theory. Stupid me. It turned out that I was wrong, and vaccine shedding is real and can be measured. A study entitled Evidence of Aerosol Transfer of SARS-CoV-2 Specific Humoral Immunity was just released. And a little clip from that. Evaluation of samples in this fashion revealed that high intranasal IgG in vaccinated injected patients was significantly associated with a 0.38 increase in the log transformed intranasal IgG, etc., etc., within a child from the same household. So it goes on to explain the study and that the child's parents were injected with the bioweapon, and the child began to show obvious contamination just by being around the parents. Aerosolized spreading without question. Certainly exosomic spreading by touch is another issue. And that can be anything, any fomite, anything. So... All right.
Well, we've got 2 years now, almost 2 years, of observational, anecdotal evidence to this effect.
Here's a comment to this article. The night after my partner got his second shot, I know, I was against it, but he wouldn't listen. I was sleeping next to him and woke up at 3 a.m. to the sensation that I was freezing cold. It was June. Hot as hell, and I was full body shivering so badly that I had to crawl to the bathroom and get under the shower to try to warm myself up. I had shivers like that before, but when I was ill in the past, but this was on an entirely different level. The shaking attack lasted 5 minutes and was the most intense and totally freaky immune reaction I've ever experienced. I was a few weeks pregnant at the time and started bleeding 2 days later. Luckily, I didn't miscarry the pregnancy, and I proceeded to avoid getting the vaccines myself and stay well. But man, it was weird. I know it's anecdotal, but since then, I've been pretty convinced that shedding is a real phenomenon. Interesting to finally see it confirmed. So we'll have this paper up for you as well. But again, this is 10 months old now almost. So the data's mm-hmm. been out there. It's just not getting any acknowledgement in the controlled media.
Right.
So here's another quick comment. I believe shedding was the cause of losing my baby at 22 weeks gestation. I had hugged someone on a Sunday who had just had their second shot the day before. By Tuesday, I noticed my baby not moving anymore. Wednesday confirmed, heart stopped. Doctor looked at sonogram, said it appeared like massive organ failure. My health has not been the same since. This is a very great tragedy that many of us will never have complete answers for. God is merciful, but the battle is very hard. So, again, we hope sincerely that you're not getting worn out hearing about shedding, and be careful. Maybe if you are, you should go elsewhere. Don't listen anymore. Because we're trying to fight for those who have chosen not to take this injection, and they have a God-given right to survive. Never mind the satanic demons who have planned this otherwise.
Yep. And I would say, too, that, you know, I look at some of the strategies or remedies people are using. I mean, so many people are sold on this graphene oxide thing, and that MMS or CDS is the antidote. Well, there's plenty of evidence now that it's not. I mean, people are still experiencing clotting issues from having been around the vax while using MMS or CDS. So you can draw your own conclusions from that. I think what's not being talked about that needs to be talked about is people shoring up the basic nutrients, and in particular these B vitamins. I mean, we've been talking about that for the last, I don't know, a few times here, particularly the NAD, which is derived from niacin, essentially, tryptophan or niacin. But because the tryptophan pathway is so disrupted with spike poisoning, you're very limited in, or you're limited to the niacin that's in your body to keep being recycled into NAD. And I have heard from several people when they address these B vitamins, and in particular the niacin, that's a game changer. That's an absolute game changer, because without NAD, you have no energy. You need it for ATP production. You won't be able to repair your DNA, and the DNA is under tremendous stress from spike poisoning. And you won't be able to maintain a normal redox balance, reduction in oxidation. So if you get an onslaught of free radicals, can't handle it. NAD is absolutely essential for those processes.
All right. Words to the wise. Vitamin Bs, BBBs. I understand that Mercola has written a piece about
Bs. Yeah, yeah. You know, people are wising up to this. The basic nutrition goes a long way. And again, I'm going to say with the vitamin D, I think you're getting bad advice because of the way it antagonizes your vitamin A status. And without vitamin A, you're going to have a hard time with copper metabolism, which will directly impact your ability to manage iron.
I don't take much D. I take, what do I take? 600 a day? I forget. I used to take 12.
It's got
to
be balanced with A. And I tell you, three years people taking high-dose vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder people are sick. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yep. All right. Let's, one other little note here. GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, scientists now have been proven to have known that Zantac, remember Zantac for acid indigestion and all of that? Zantac, it was a very big seller. Probably still mm-hmm. is. They knew that it had severe and serious cancer risks, and they knew that for 40 years. That has just been proven. 40 years. They didn't give a damn. I say it again, we are a species cut below those people. They look upon us as second-rate beings, like livestock. They don't care. They
do not care. It's a business model. It's a business model.
That's right. All right, let's jump over to our archives here on human stories, and we try to always include some of these in the program to let you know who are listening, who are struggling with these issues, that you're not alone. Where do you want to go?
What date do you have?
February 1st and February 15th and February 17th. 15th is gone. We've done it.
Okay, I'm looking for... There it is.
17th.
No, I got 15.
You have 17?
Oh, I'm looking.
I'll send it to you right now, just in case. Hold on. Okay. There it goes.
I got it.
All right, you should have the other one as a backup.
Now I have it twice.
Twice
okay.
Blessed. All right. Okay, pick a category, any category. I like ridiculousness, whatever that is, if you remember any of these. Erica puts these groups together for us. Severe shedding. Shedding dilemmas.
Okay, severe shedding.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if anyone in this group has ever experienced this. I work in a building with heavily vaxxed people. After being in there for almost 5 hours, my entire face and neck suddenly felt as though I was covered in chili powder and looked as though I was sunburned. It came on so suddenly that it felt as though I was having a severe allergic reaction. I'm not going to lie, it scared the bejesus out of me. I called for a lift home, packed, and immediately got out of the building, and almost as soon as I had left the building, my symptoms began to subside. I took no medication for this and had not eaten anything prior to the episode. I'm a lifelong faster. After 3 hours, all symptoms had gone. WTF, anyone heard of this before?
That's probably more common than we could ever imagine. Go ahead, onward. Go do all three.
All right, someone says, my family often feels like we are getting pricked in the face when we are outside at the same time as the jabbed. I'm glad your symptoms went away. One time I was outside at the same time as one neighbor, about 100 feet away, and I started developing welts.
Wow. Now, that's very interesting. That's highly suggestive of exosomic transmission through the breeze or the air. I don't know how else you could look at it.
I mean, 100.
Wow. 100 feet? All right. Don't know. All right, there's one more. Go ahead.
Someone says, if I'm in a crowded room, my skin starts to burn. And another one says, me too, my skin burns. But it does not turn red, and there is no rash.
Some of you might say, well, these are psychosomatic responses. Well, maybe some of them are, but not all of them. So,
well, I don't know, because, you know, nobody's wearing a label that says they're vaxxed or unvaxxed.
Don't know. Okay, shedding dilemmas. Each time I visit my in-laws, all fully vaxxed, and there's an answer to that, I totally feel you. My vaccinated parents want to come over to see us, my husband and our two kids. We are all unvaccinated. We don't live in the same country now, and they want to stay at our house. We have the space, so it is extra hard to say no. I have told them about shedding, but somehow they still don't get it and want to stay here. I really love them and don't want to hurt them, but I need to protect my my young kids and our family. This is such a difficult situation, especially because my parents don't get shedding and think that we are weirdos. Wish you all the strength to do what you feel most comfortable with in this situation. Now,
next one says, you can't be around them. You need to protect yourself. Send them lovely messages. Send them strength, but they have chosen their paths. You need to protect yourself and your family. Refuse to see anyone on an intimate basis more than 15 minutes, especially if boosted. I don't believe for a second that this shot ain't self-spreading. I have friends trying to visit. I can't do it. I get a sneezing attack every time I'm exposed, and within 15 minutes, a cold sore up my nose. It's brutal. I have that sore for 10 days. I refuse to mingle. Only vax-free. And we have open conversations about travels on and out of this region. Seems we all respect each other's health, and that is healthy. That's normal.
Well, that's a very quick reaction to have a lesion in your nose like that quickly. That's fast.
Well, I mean, if it's these aldehydes that are, you know, VOCs and aldehydes coming off these people, and, you know, in addition to the spike.
Right, right. Yep. Okay, go ahead, do the next one.
My kids have to go to school, unfortunately. Unfortunately, only because of the bloody shedding. Last 2 days, we spent about an hour and a half in the school meeting, the principal and teachers, etc., today and yesterday. And now I have a sore throat. A few months ago, I would assume it was a cold. However, no one there was sick, it appeared. So if it's shedding, what exactly is causing it? The spike protein? Graphene? I've taken black cumin seed oil, NAC, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, calcium. I'm in my 40s. One kid is primary, the other is intermediate. They seem fine so far. Any answers would be appreciated. Thank you.
Huh. Do shedding symptoms. That's the next one. Go ahead.
Someone says, the symptoms vary a lot. Itchy eyes. It's cut off here. Someone else says, yes, I've noticed lately that every time I am in a public place, I come home with a sore throat. For example, last night I went to the grocery store and immediately started coughing for no reason. I thought maybe it was because of the dry air, but when I got home, I also had a sore throat, and this morning my sore throat is still there. Yep, that's exactly what happens.
Mm. All right, here's one called ridiculousness. This is silly time, stupid time. All right. So, basically, the official story of spike proteins and lipid nanoparticles is a cover-up for the real toxin. No, each component of the vaccine, mRNA for gain of function, modified spike protein, lipid nanoparticles, graphene oxide, etc., are all toxic and dangerous. The graphene oxide is being introduced into the environment in more ways than just the gene therapy jabs. And there's someone else answering, there is no such thing as spike protein, and there is no such thing as SARS-CoV-2. And added to that, if that wasn't enough, the vax is pure nanotech with an active transgenic pathogen used as a carrier. And once in your body, it adds a third strain to your strand, said strain here, a third strand to your DNA, and you're blanked forever. There is no way back. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, yes, you do. I have been injured by it for 6 months now due to the shedding transmission, and there is no way to cure from this. It causes you autoimmune disease, and it may kill you in very, very different ways. And that's why we're seeing all those kinds of illnesses out there. All right. Well, when you look at these social media forums, you see all kinds out there. And we look at this, Erica looks at this all the time, and you kind of come away with the feeling that it may be game, set, and match, done. The people don't have the ability to stay focused on reality. Not all of them.
No.
A lot of them do, but a lot of them don't. So the chaos is nonstop, and they have no problem turning up the volume anytime they want. And if they want to roll out H5N1, the avian flu, as the next mutated plandemic, they'll do it. And believe me, the fear factor will kick in just like it did this time around. It'll do the same thing next time. And they'll roll up their sleeves for the H5N1 vax that is being made right now. You can count on it. So whatever they need to do, they're going to do.
Well, and they've set the stage for it. They have a substantial
Absolutely.
Percentage of the population that is now severely immune compromised. So
80%, if that's the vax number, have AIDS. All right. Everyone who's taken the bioweapon has a reduced immune competency, maybe disastrously so. These people are going to be like a bowling ball hitting 10 pins. They're going to go down. If anything really virulent is turned loose, like a mutated or tweaked H5N1, hold on. It's going to be real bad, real ugly.
It may not even have
fast.
To be tweaked. It won't take much when the immune system is that compromised.
Right. How many chickens, fowl, poultry have they killed already, allegedly, because of H5N1? It's the last figure I saw was 80 million. It may be
yeah.
much more now. I don't know. So people have it in their mind, oh, yes, it kills those chickens. No, it didn't kill the chickens. We killed the chickens. We don't know if they actually had it. An
right.
FDA thug could go into somebody's chicken farm and say, found H5N1. Got to call the herd.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. Think of East Palestine and the incredible in-your-face terrorism that's going on there. What they did to those people and people in Canada and all through northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Just incredible. That whole area was absolutely doused with dioxins.
Incredible.
It's astonishing. It is.
Now we're just sitting ducks.
They have no chance, no choice, no options. They are sitting ducks. Fish in a barrel. Anything we want to add here?
No, I think that's plenty.
That is plenty. All right. Thank you. Great job, as always. Talk soon.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back with Mitchell Henderson coming up next. Don't miss it. Back in a flash.